The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Fourth and final hour here on this Monday. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, you should do this. I know Chase has been dabbling with this, and a lot of you can get involved in our uniform drawing contest for a chance to win a jersey from the Preds, Nashville SC, the Sounds, Vanderbilt, MTSU. You can download a jersey template from thegamenashville.com or draw your own and submit for your own chance to win. Game listeners will then vote in the top three uniforms from each category, hockey, soccer, football, basketball, and baseball, with the winners getting a jersey from that sport. Enter today at thegamenashville.com. Have you been able to see some of these, Chase? Are we getting creative
actually
out there?
I haven't seen these yet. I need to I need to ask the proper people if I can take a look, because I would love to see the creativity. This is right up my alley. This is why I made some. I need to do more than basketball. And after watching The Last Dance, I am fairly confident that I can design better jerseys than the NBA had in the 90s, because some of those were, I don't know why they thought they were good
atrocious
ideas.
Atrocious.
Ooh, bad.
The Pistons were bad. The Sonics were bad. I'm trying to think of some bad ones.
The Sixers were bad.
Sixers were bad. I mean, I don't know. Have you noticed that we came around and it was like, you know, let's go back to some of these old designs, and that's what a lot of teams did. They went back to the old school look, and now we love those retro looks. But, I mean, look, there were some NHL jerseys that were bad back in the day, too. It hit just about every sport, maybe not football, but some of the NBA jerseys, there were some baseball jerseys that were bad. And I guess it's not just the 90s. I think I saw your tweet last night, Willie, that you were, was it the 70s or 80s baseball jerseys that you were talking about?
Yeah, it was Tyler Kepner, who was on our show a couple weeks ago. He was commenting on that he was comparing the 90s basketball uniforms to the 70s baseball, but I feel like we look back fondly on the wacky uniforms that you saw in the 70s, the old Astros and the Padres, really colorful. I think those are, I think you see a lot of those floating around baseball stadiums. I think there's a certain, you know, it's not traditional, but you've kind of grown to like them, especially at least as a change of pace. But some of those jerseys, like the Sonics one and some of the ones we referenced, the Hawks used to change and do all kinds of different things. They still do. The Hawks, I never know what uniform they're going to wear when they go out
there.
Some are better than others. You can't help but have a few. Yeah, but there were some in the 90s that I just don't think that they are any good at all, even when they bring them out.
Toronto.
Brutal.
Oh, the Raptors early ones. Terrible. Way too much going on. Too busy.
And that was the theme, though. But if you think about it, look at the Bulls. The Bulls didn't change. I think they added the black one with the black, solid black with the pinstripes, the red pinstripes, which those were fine. I didn't hate those. But they stayed pretty much the same. The Lakers, they stayed the same. But you had
Celtics.
You had some that they got too creative. Like, I didn't even like the Jazz. The kind of the purple with the mountains on it. I always hated those.
What did you guys make of the Scottie
Pippen
moment
too busy,
last night? The timeout that refused to go in.
I remember watching it at the time.
Me too.
I watched it at the time. I saw it live. I was tuning in. I can see why you would be frustrated about it, but to sit out and not go in the game, that's a whole another level right there. Great story about the Bill Cartwright. You know, how do you get over that? You're in the locker room. You just won the game. You're still down 2-1, and you got to play the next game. You got to get through this. Scottie Pippen is your main man. So the Bill Cartwright thing I thought was really compelling.
The takeaway I had, it was at that moment, and I felt this way when I was watching last night, it was at that moment that Scottie Pippen basically told everybody, yep, I'm number two. Because that's what a number one, the guy, the man, would never do that. And he knows that. Like,
it seemed like the pressure was getting to him.
Yep.
Just carrying that load. And now he got a little glimpse into what Michael Jordan dealt with on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week basis. And it was very clear that, look, you know, you've heard me say this many times over the years. You know, not everybody's equipped to be a head coach. Not everybody's equipped to be a superstar and famous. And it doesn't make you a bad person. Doesn't mean anything bad against you. Just means that not everybody's equipped that way, and that's okay. And Scottie Pippen wasn't.
But he wanted to do it.
That want it, but they can't handle it. They want it, but they can't handle it. There's a lot of people that want to be in that position, but you know they also can't handle being in that position.
Once they get it, they're like, oh no.
Scottie Pippen was one of the. I mean, Scottie Pippen's a prime example. You're asking me. If you were asking me, in my opinion, if Michael Jordan stays in baseball, the Bulls would have never won another championship, in my opinion.
They didn't have the horses. And
but
you
they,
saw
did,
that.
They did a tremendous job to be that good that year, though. I think that is something that they discussed
that
during
year,
the episode last night. I remember thinking the same thing. They won however many games, close to 50 games. That was a tremendous tribute to the guys on that team, namely Pippen.
But, Willie, the next year, when you were a year removed – what happened? They were almost 500 when Jordan came back. I mean, do they even?
But they lost Horace Grant.
I understand that. But they were missing him, and then he comes back and he doesn't light it up. You can tell that he just wasn't in basketball shape. But they still make the playoffs and all of that. Here's the other part of this: if you guys are given an opportunity, and you're the man. It's like the man leaves, the man retires, and now all of a sudden you're the guy on your team, and then you get word that he wants to come back. Pippen was, you know, they showed the video of him pointing to the logo on the shoe, wanting him to come back. If I'm Scottie Pippen and I've been given the opportunity to be the guy, I don't want him to come back.
Right,
I get it, he was your teammate.
Because he had already,
why would you not
already,
want Michael Jordan
he had
to come
already
back?
What's the same reason James Harden wants out of Oklahoma City? I mean, because they want to be the guy. They're the same reason LeBron does the stuff that he does, because that's what Chase is trying to say. If you truly are the guy and you think you're the guy, then you don't want him to come back. You want to be the guy. Same reason that Kobe and Shaq couldn't last forever, because they wanted to be, both wanted to be the guy. You can't have two the guys. And that's the reason the Shaq left. And that's what Chase is trying to say. Because the answer
I think history has shown that if you want to win a title, you got to have two of the guys, if not three.
He was truly the guy, then he would not have wanted him to come back. He would have said, this is my team.
There's
and
a difference.
The point
I disagree.
He had already resigned.
I think he was smarter than many. I think the whole thing about I got to be the guy, we just said it. I mean, we know now. LeBron left because he didn't have enough guys initially.
Right.
I mean, it's all about getting the two or three guys now who are elite players. That's how you win a championship.
Do you want to be Batman or do you want to be Robin? If you want to be Batman, then you at least have to have the mindset that, okay, I don't need Robin. Even though history has shown us that you have to have pieces in place. You have to have the Scottie Pippen to Michael Jordan, or you have to have LeBron has to have, you know, his pieces, but you're the guy. You are the man. When LeBron went to Miami, even though D Wade had done so much, and you always think of the Miami Heat and Dwayne Wade, that became LeBron's team, and even Dwayne Wade knew that. Everybody knew that. And you had D Wade and Chris Bosh that were, I'm not going to say sidekicks, they were very important, but LeBron was the guy. You only have one guy. And Pippen.
Yeah, but
Pippen
Dwayne Wade had won a championship as the guy. So
how many
proven
how
he
many
could
more
be
was
the
he going to win without LeBron? Or Shaq?
Probably none. So he was smart. That's my point. Smart players.
Well, that's my point.
Winning players realize that being the guy is not the biggest thing, it's being a key guy with enough good players to win the whole thing.
Yeah, we'll tell that to James Harden, because Oklahoma City could have won championships if he would have stayed, but he wanted to be the guy.
Yeah. So why he's
Kevin
the guy,
Durant,
they haven't
why
won
did
either.
Kevin Durant leave Golden State?
Because he wanted to be the guy.
Because he wants to be the guy. That's why. And Scottie Pippen, I think, to your question initially, Chase, is he had already resigned to the fact that he wasn't the guy. He didn't want that role. Yeah, he wanted to be paid more, and he wanted more limelight.
But we act like that's a bad thing. What's wrong with that, if that's the case?
What's wrong with it? Nothing's wrong with it.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
But he wanted to be the guy, though, there for a while. And then he realized when he got his chance, he didn't want to be the guy. Because he couldn't handle being the guy.
Yeah, he wanted to take that shot at the end of that game. That would be he wants to be the guy. But the guy's got six rings.
What did we learn in I think it was the Phil Jackson episode where the triangle offense gets put in play. And Michael Jordan didn't like the fact that they were taking the ball out of his hands. But guess what? He did it. There were times where he threw it over to Paxson and Paxson made the shot because Michael knew that that was the best chance for them to win. If Scottie Pippen truly was that guy and became the leader, the next MJ, whatever you want to call it, on that team, then it wouldn't have even been a conversation. But it was at that moment where he was pissed off that Kukoc was going to get the shot, and he wasn't, so he pouted and he sat on the bench. That's not being the man. And Jordan wouldn't have done that. Jordan might have been upset about it. He might have had a conversation.
I think he would have been very upset about it.
Okay, he would have, but
I don't know if he was ever put in that position.
But do you think he would have taken himself out of the game? I don't. I really don't. He could have been pissed.
I don't think he ever had that kind of situation presented to him. I don't know that they would ever call. So I don't know if it's fair to say that. Scottie Pippen had been watching Michael Jordan in those situations for all those years and probably figure, okay, it's my turn now to see if I can make that type of play. I believe I can do it. And then he hears that the play's not called for him. But this gets into a whole lot of things. Like, who was the best guy to take that shot at the time? Kukoc, for that play, it was, you know, he was sort of tailor-made. They actually showed a couple of examples of him hitting a similar type of shot in that situation. So, to me, that it's very different than who's the man, right? Scottie Pippen was still the most valuable player on that team. He was an all-star. Nobody thought that they would be as good as they were, but it was a tribute to him and Horace Grant and B.J. Armstrong and Kukoc that they were still an excellent team, even after they were hit with that whole thing with Michael Jordan right before the season.
Yeah. There's a lot of great players that just are they're great players, but they can't – to be the guy, you have to be able to win it. You have to be able to knock down the doors on your own being the guy. That's why I bring up James Harden. He's a tremendous player. But, look, if he doesn't win a championship, that is always going to be the knock on him. You can never say he's not talented. You can never say that he's not a superstar because he is. But if he doesn't win anything, that is going to be the knock that James Harden will have to carry around the rest of his life. Because
well, you have to have good players around you, and you have to make those players around you better.
Okay. Then has he done that?
I think that's probably a knock on James Harden, I don't know that he makes everybody around him better. That's what Chase just pointed out. I think Jordan had to learn is it's not just about scoring the most points. It's about scoring the right amount of points and making everybody around you better. That's what Bird and Magic were famous for. And I think Pippen got a lot of points that season for doing just that. They illustrated that in the piece. Right, that he was running the triangle offense through him very well, utilizing everybody, getting the most out of their ability. There's a lot to be said about that. It's not just about who takes the last shot and makes the last shot. It's what happens in the other 47 minutes.
Russell Westbrook's a great, great player too. Same deal. He had his own situation where he's the guy. He can't win it on his own. He can't do it.
Yeah, and where is he now?
Right, he's teamed up with James Harden. He left. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
I think it was a trade, but... But still, I mean, it's they're back together. And
well, but he forced his way. Look, after they all saw what you know the recipe and what to do, you just force your way out. I mean, and that's – and by the way, that's the new trend in the NFL too, right? You don't like it, then force your way out. I mean, we've seen that. But the point is Jordan is the guy. Scottie Pippen was a nice, nice piece. He's not the guy, though. He couldn't do it on his own. He could not elevate – arrest of a team and do it on his own. They weren't going to win.
Well, did Jordan do it on his own?
Did what?
Did Jordan do it on his own?
Are you comparing Jordan and Pippen? Do you say they're the same?
I'm just saying factually.
Are you saying they're
Jordan
the same?
Didn't do it on his own?
Are you saying Jordan and Pippen are the same? Of course not.
No, but Jordan didn't win until he had Pippen.
Everybody needs help. No one.
Allen Iverson took the Sixers to the NBA Finals. That was an incredible performance by Allen Iverson. You look at the other guys on his team, he had nobody else.
LeBron did.
And LeBron took the Cavs to the NBA Finals with a bunch of hats.
He took them as long as he could take them. Yes, he took them as far as he could take them, for sure. And it wasn't until he had the right supporting cast. So even Jordan. I mean, because Bird and Magic had great supporting cast as well. I think we would agree with that, right?
Yes, you have to.
No, nobody can do it on their own.
Of course not.
Yeah, and we're saying that. But
that's what we're saying. We're not saying that.
No, that's exactly what you said about Pippen. He couldn't do it on his own. Well, neither could Jordan.
You're comparing. You are putting Pippen in the same breath as the guys, and that's all.
No,
the whole
I'm not.
Point of this conversation is he's not the guy. He's not.
Name me a player who did it on his own. Name me a player that won a championship by himself with a bunch of scrubs. Nobody.
A bunch of scrubs won a championship. Yeah, no, it doesn't happen.
But that's my point.
So, but the point is, going back to what started this conversation, is Pippen, the pressure was mounting on Pippen. And I don't know.
It was just a bad moment. It was bad attitude on his part. You just don't do that.
According
to... And what did he say? This is what bothered me the most. And if I could do it again, I would do it the same.
Yeah.
That's not true. That's not true. Why would you say that? Why did you apologize then afterwards? It's just simply not true. Like that to me, that ruined it for me. I was like, really? So you apologized to your team and you regret it, but you then in the same breath say, if I could do it all over again, I would do the same. No, you wouldn't. No, you would not. You're contradicting yourself. You're sorry for what? If you would do it again, what are you sorry for? He lost me at that. That's when I was like, nope, you lost me. You can't say you're sorry. If you have a moment and you say, I had a bad moment and I apologize and I've told my team I'm sorry, and we all do, that's fine. But you can't say I had a bad moment and then I would do it again in the same breath, but yet you're sorry. You can't. That's where he lost me. When he said, if I could do it all over again, I would do the same thing, I was like, yep, you lost me. Sorry, Scotty. You can't say that. You should have never said that, in my opinion. If you were sorry, you say you had a bad moment, you apologize to your team, everybody moved on. If I could do it all over again, I would have done it differently. I look back now and I realize I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't the right move, but I had a bad moment. And you know what? Everybody would forgive him and everybody would move on. But when you say, if I did it all over again, I would do it the same. For people like me, I say, well, you just lost me.
Yep. No, I agree.
All right, we'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Dolphins are pumped. So is Tua. 4-year deal, $30.3 million. 4-year, $30.3 million. 19.6 of that is in a signing bonus and fully guaranteed. So ESPN's Field Yates, that's where I saw it first, has identified that the Dolphins have inked their guy, also has a 5th-year option. But like I said, the signing bonus of $19.6 million, all of it guaranteed, 4-year, $3.28 million deal for the number 5 pick overall in Tua for the Dolphins. And it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out this season. Will he indeed, if they start up, on time and it's green light go, what he looks like? Is he indeed, with all the video footage that we've seen, will he be ready to suit up week one, or will he need some time?
That's the million-dollar question on whether he'll be ready to go, but all the things we heard going into the draft was, he's good, he'll be fine. But then, this we start hearing more of, okay, could he take the red shirt year or however you want to put it and not be ready? But I guess time will tell. I guess, with just a gut feeling, I think probably he'll probably be ready. But Who knows?
I would err on the side of caution. Do they still have Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Fitzmagic?
And they were playing.
Or Fitzpatrick? Which one?
They were
or
playing.
Pickpatrick.
He was playing pretty well by the end of the year. He had some good games. He beat some playoff teams. They beat the Eagles. They beat the Patriots late in the season with him quarterbacking. I think even best case scenario, I don't know that, you know, they win the Super Bowl this year, even if Tua plays all the games. So I would make sure that he is ready to go in there physically before I put him in there. Regardless of what we think about when you should play the rookie, you drafted him, he needs to play, all of that stuff. The quicker he gets in there, the quicker he's going to learn. But I think from a physical standpoint, especially if you have a decent placeholder, and let's be honest, Ryan Fitzpatrick is the all-time placeholder, right? Need a placeholder, he can get you, you know, he can play respectably. He can have some ups and downs, but he's a serviceable guy. He's right in the middle of the road. So that's how I would view it. He's a big-time investment, Tua. He is the guy that's got to get him going long-term. But there's no reason to rush him in there if you don't have all the answers you're looking for physically.
Josh Rosen is also on the roster. Not for long, but he's still there.
What's going to happen with that guy? I guess he is going to join the Joey Harrington, Achilles Smith club of just
bad picks.
Not what we thought he was.
My Vegas insider tells me that Tua is plus 225 to start week one.
Plus 225. Okay, so they're saying he's not going to be starting.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay, that's pretty. That's a pretty decent favorite not to be the starter day one.
Yeah, I would say so.
Get a little nerd talk in here, Willie. When you do, we do Willie brackets. How much is net involved in your picking teams, your bubble teams in and out? How much do you use net?
How much do I use net? I don't know what that means. What do you mean?
Well, you know, that they use the net. That they said that they're going to, in figuring up, I guess, it's an analytics thing, that they are no longer, the NCAA has said they're no longer going to include winning percentage, adjusted winning percentage, and scoring margin.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the net is sort of – It's replaced the RPI. Remember, for years we would talk about the RPI. The net is a replacement for the RPI. Yeah. So they're adjusting the formula for the net, is what you're saying?
They said they're no longer going to include, yes, they're going to adjust it by no longer including winning percentage, adjusted winning percentage, and scoring margin.
Huh.
Now, I don't have any clue how that changes things. What that means, but that's what the NCAA just put out the last half hour or so.
Well, scoring margin, I guess, would take away a dominating win. Like, don't you think it's maybe a little more noteworthy if you beat a team by 20 as opposed to a team by one?
And I wonder why. Why would you take that out?
Yeah, why? I don't know why you would take that out. That's interesting.
I think it's pretty relevant.
To read up on this. I think so, too.
You got Willie's attention.
Yeah.
You got my attention. Where are you finding this? Is this coming out today?
I saw John Rothstein tweet this out. He said, per the NCAA, they will not include winning percentage, adjusted winning percentage, and scoring margin in their net moving forward. The other thing that I wanted to throw out there, did you guys see where Adam Amin is leaving ESPN to go to Fox?
I did see that.
What did you make of that?
Well, I mean, it's a
who
it's
does
another,
that?
Yeah, I mean, it's
right. Unless ESPN did ESPN say, yeah, we're not re-upping. We're not.
I doubt
usually
that.
It's only because right.
He's an up and comer, and has done. You know, I know he's done a lot of their NFL radio broadcasts, and they're going to put him on the NFL. That's a big loss for ESPN.
Because he's leaving. It's not like usually when they leave, when Willie says, who does that? It's because ESPN's told him, we're not going to re-up your contract. You know, that usually, but he's actually leaving to go to Fox. I guess this is for to do more Major League Baseball, right? Isn't
baseball
and
football
and football, right? Yeah. Baseball and football.
Yeah, and he's good. He's really good. So that's a big pickup for them. And I'm curious too of what I think you're going to see some other big names bounce around. I mean, the biggest one of the biggest rumors out there, and you know we've had him on quite a bit. Kevin Burkhardt has 1 year left on his contract with Fox. There have been rumblings that ESPN could target him for Monday Night Football, which I think would be huge because I think Kevin is immensely talented with baseball, with football, everything that he does for Fox. I mean, he could easily be a number one on a network and has earned that opportunity. He's on the number two team with Fox right now, and he's going to need another color analyst because Charles Davis has left for CBS. So it'll be curious to see who he's paired with. ESPN has announced that Monday Night Football is going to look different. It's going to have a different crew.
No Tessitore and Booger.
No, they're going to remain with ESPN in prominent roles. My guess is they'll put them back where they belong, college football. Felt like a square
peg. But it doesn't say who they're going to use. Even though I didn't Richard Deitch sort of speculate that they're going to promote from within? It'll be ESPN people.
See,
that jump in there.
I wonder if they know they have a shot to get somebody like Kevin Burkhardt, and if they're going to try and do – which, if that were the case, then just leave Joe Tess and Booger in for a year. But I've read things that could say – it could see them having a rotating booth, that it could be something like that to try out for a year. Steve Levy's name is one that comes up, and I think Steve's good. You know, he's more than just a sports center anchor. He does a good job on play-by-play. I believe, didn't he do play-by-play for the second Monday night game last year in the opener? I feel like he did.
Steve Levy?
Yeah. That sounds possibly.
I think it was him and
he's done a lot of stuff.
And Rex. But, I don't know. Pat McAfee's name comes up as being a potential analyst. I think he would need – that would have to be a part of a three-man booth, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
maybe he's in the Booger role on the sidelines.
Yeah, but don't put him in that stupid chair. Just have him roam the sidelines traditionally.
Well, Monday Night Football, you know, they've not been afraid to kind of think outside the box. We've seen, you know, Kornheiser, and we can go through that, you know, just different elements. I think McAfee, if you're looking for somebody to bring some getting people talk about it, I think McAfee is one of those guys. I mean, you either love him or you hate him, but he gets your attention. He's certainly a personality. I don't think that would be horrible.
No, I don't either. I don't either. Ryan threw out Dan Orlovsky being in there. You know, I he'd be a good one.
I could see that.
Yeah, I think that they're really high on him.
Are you really going to end up – you're really going to be that much further ahead rather than keep the continuity of Tessitore and McFarland? I don't know that those guys were that bad. I thought they, you know, they weren't eye popping. I thought they got the job done. So I'm very curious to feel
Lewis
like
Riddick.
Lewis Riddick would be a great one. I think he's a guy, and you've heard Richard Deitch echo that, you know, for a long time. I think he would be excellent in the booth there. I like the idea of a three-man crew with one of the people in there being a little bit more of a wild card, like a Howard Cosell or, you know, somebody that's got a little more charisma.
It's got to be the right guy, though.
But that's always the trick.
Dennis Miller, Tony Kornheiser.
Are you really going to come out ahead?
You don't think they worked, Dennis Miller?
No, and I'm not going out on a limb with that. It didn't work.
It got people's attention.
Wow. There's some breaking news.
Oh. But, I mean, that's it. If you put, like, say you put Dan Orlovsky.
Who do you think was better? Who did you enjoy listening to more, Dennis Miller or Tony Kornheiser?
When I turned my TV off.
You actually turned the TV off with because those guys were on there?
No, but I just, if you're making me choose.
Probably Kornheiser.
Kornheiser, yeah. And I didn't love Jaws either. I was never a big fan of Ron Jaworski. So, and he was there with, was he always the one with Kornheiser?
No, Theismann.
Theismann, that's right, the first year.
Joe Theismann, yeah. Was Jaws with Kornheiser? I don't remember that. I thought it was Theismann.
No, it was Theismann.
Jaws was there too. Theismann did the first year, and then they replaced him with Jaworski, and Kornheiser was there for at least another year. Burkhart, Ryan just texted and said Burkhart and Riddick would be tremendous. I agree with that. That would be a good crew.
Yeah, Burkhart's really good.
He's solid. Rock solid. Right, but you're saying they have to wait a year to get him?
Yeah, he's still got a year left with Fox.
Maybe a trade in the works.
We have a trade.
We've seen it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Al Michaels got
traded. Not too long ago. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our buddy Jimmy Shapiro has been at it. He's been hard at work today. We did earlier on the show weekly lines for the entire NFL schedule. Amazing. All the way to the end. Beginning of January. Also, he's put out, and of course, this is courtesy of betonline.ag, the comeback player of the year. Comeback player of the year. Who's the favorite for comeback player of the year?
I'm always bad at these. comeback player of the year. I don't know. Willie, you got a guess? Is Malcolm Butler on that list?
No.
Actually, he is on that list. It's 66-1.
Critical players that missed most of the season last year with an injury is the category, really. Who missed a lot of the season last year?
He's there. He's 66-1. Malcolm Butler is with Steven Gostkowski.
Well,
how about Rob Gronkowski?
Yeah, I was about to ask, does he count?
Yeah, of course he does.
He's making a comeback.
Yeah.
He's making a comeback, and Gronkowski is second at 9-2.
Okay. Second.
This team, his team plays the Titans this year. So they are on the schedule.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Mountain Man Roethlisberger is indeed the favorite to be the comeback player of the year at 5-2. Gronk,
wow.
Second at 9-2. JJ, what? At 5-1. AJ Green and Nick Foles.
AJ Green. That's
6-1.
That might be my pick.
AJ Green's a good one.
I wouldn't dare trust AJ Green to play a season. He hadn't played in about 2 years. I think he's been
fresh.
Out more than Gronk.
He's got fresh legs. He's got fresh legs.
AJ Green didn't even play last year, and he played less than half of a season the year before that. So
freak injury on the turf, the bad playing surface that the Bengals were training on.
So I said AJ
new quarterback.
Green and Foles are 6-1. Cam Newton and Stafford are 8-1.
Stafford's an interesting choice.
Cam Newton didn't play enough to be considered. I mean, he played enough to not be coming back, right? He just had a bad year. He played some games, though.
He didn't play a lot.
Didn't play much.
What's the cutoff? Like, if you play seven games, are you eligible to be a comeback?
He didn't play seven last year, did he?
How many did he play?
No, he played two.
I was going to say.
Two?
I thought he played, I was going to say, what? Three or less.
Yeah, he played
Man,
two.
My memory is going. I thought he played more than two.
No. I knew it was a small amount.
Okay, well, that's legit then. But he does need to sign a contract and play for a team.
Yeah, he played two games last
year. But what about, okay, say the top.
Isn't that weird? Like, why did I think he played more than two?
Say the top five one more time.
The top five are Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger.
Gronk.
J.J.
Watt. That's your top three. Then A.J. Green and Foles are 6-1, so they're tied for fourth. And Cam Newton and Stafford are tied for fifth at 8-1.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, those are legit. I was going to throw somebody like like, even though they played a majority of the games, it just was a bad year. Like Melvin Gordon, I mean, could he be somebody? But I guess usually it's somebody that you just missed a lot of games.
Melvin Gordon not on there.
Yeah, I guess not.
He came back and played half the season, didn't he?
Right, I know. I know generally it's if you miss, but because of his contract situation, he didn't do himself any favors. He didn't have a good year. Now he's with a new team. You know, what could happen there?
Yeah, but I think he played enough to where – that's why I'm curious what the criteria is to be in that category of you're coming back.
Sure.
You're coming back from what, a holdout?
Right. What are you coming back from? What did you
right.
do?
Well, Antonio Brown is on there at 20-1.
Yeah,
now,
okay.
What team is he with?
That would be FA.
Yeah.
That's a good team.
TBD.
Good team.
TBD, FA.
You could go play in the CFL. Oh, wait. Too soon?
Maybe not. Yeah. So that'll be curious. So we were talking a little bit on the hoops. It was more geek stuff, analytics. You know, we talked a lot about that HBO documentary, and it was pretty interesting. Last week, there was some news that came out on the Kansas Jayhawks, their basketball program, and – I want to know what you guys – where is this thing going? Or is this just going to be something, you know – we initially have had – we've had so many talks from initially to where we sit today, and at this point it is hard to believe that this is going anywhere, even though this documentary may have changed things. What do you think?
Well, I don't know that the documentary had anything to do with this, but it is something along the line. This is a big moment. Like, Kansas has gotten the notice, right? They're in that, oh, my gosh, major violations. You know, Coach Self facing a show cause, five level one violations. I think I saw this right. Like, this isn't just, you know, We're investigating. This is what we found, and they are protesting a lot. But we're talking about one of the most prestigious programs out there. I mean, they are right at the top of the list with, you know, of the top 5 to 10 programs that are in contention seemingly every year. But this is what's interesting in Kansas's response publicly is, hey, it's the shoe companies paying these guys. We didn't do that.
Well, the Zion right? Williamson is the – this. That's really the latest story is
– Oh,
know,
yeah.
Same deal, and that's basically saying his parents received money and gifts from Nike and Adidas, right?
Well, Adidas is Kansas. I haven't read all the details. I did see that there's an article on Zion. That's very interesting because, you know, the sacred ground of Duke, you know, has never been any – problem. You do have to wonder if all the top players, as you know, we were talking about in that documentary, the guy that got Louisville taken down, Bowen, I guess his name is, you know, he was a top 100 guy somewhere between, I don't know, 25, 85, somewhere in there. Not the top guy like Williamson, right? And he was able to get 150 grand or whatever it was, right? And take down Louisville. So it stands to reason that if they want to, the top guys could probably get more than that, which would include Zion Williamson. And maybe he's the exception and he never took anything, but you certainly wonder. And you have to say, if Duke is getting these guys every year in Kentucky, how are they doing it? Well, it's usually just layered, right? And it's removed from the coaches and the program enough to where that's become the standard operating procedure, right? It stands to reason that's how it's likely being done. I can't prove anything. But this is where the NCAA has gone in, and they have got this, right? They've got it connected to Kansas enough to where they think they have violations here, where Kansas is saying, wait a minute, we've been playing by the – this is the system, right? Wink, wink, nod, nod. It's the shoe guys that are doing it. It's the runners that are doing it. It's the agents that are doing it, the financial planners. You know, the guy in the documentary, I forget his name already, but those are the guys doing the transactions. It's not us. Our coach is clean for that. And the NCAA is now begging to differ, at least with this one.
Who's the coach
in
Arizona?
This is what we thought would be happening.
Who's the coach in Arizona? Right,
Sean Miller.
Who's the coach at LSU right now?
Will Wade.
Okay. I'll believe something happens at Kansas. I mean, we've been talking about those guys, and we've got them on tape saying this. And
yeah,
they're
Christian
still the coaches.
Dawkins is the name you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, if they're still the coaches at those places, then I'll believe something happens to Bill Self in Kansas when it happens. To me, it's a whole lot of nothing.
It's just whether it's
I never would have dreamed. If I could have bet on Sean Miller surviving and Will Wade surviving, I'd have lost a lot of money.
But the NCAA has gotten their ducks in a row to the point where they have served the papers to Kansas. So this is big.
Is it? Do you believe that?
Yes. I think in this case.
You believe something's actually going to come of this?
Five level one violations. They've served the papers.
Okay.
So it's coming. The penalties are coming. Now, what they are, I don't know. But this is beyond speculation here.
I think that Darren and I are both just the you've got to see it to believe it. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, if they have the violations, you have to hope something. If they are accusing Kansas of something and they don't punish them, then that just makes me shake my head even more at the NCAA.
Well, see, the key thing that could be the precedent, this is being written about, is if the shoe companies are basically now being considered boosters, that is a big thing. Right, that's the serious charge in here, and that's where Kansas has thrown up their hands, saying, "Wait a minute, we don't have anything to do with the shoe company." When we know that that's not the case, right? The shoe company has a lot to do with where some of these players go, right? The influence that some programs have over these shoe companies and the funneling of players—that's where all the dirty work is done. But it's removed enough from the coaches that they've been able to stay above the fray until now. But now, in the allegations, they have tied the Adidas people and almost made them, in this case, be boosters, as we know them, right? The no-no.
But that's what this whole documentary was about, was a big part of Adidas, right?
Right.
The HBO documentary? True?
Well, he was more of an agent. Christian Dawkins, right, was more working for the agent.
Yeah, but
Adidas
the shoe company
was pretty
tie-in.
Prominent in it, right?
Of course. Yes. The shoe companies are all over it, all over the place.
I don't think we would really want to know what's been going on all these years. Remember the...
It's dirty. When I got done watching that, you know, because we talked about it on the show, and I watched the scheme, I was like, oh, I feel dirty. All the things, all the behind-the-scenes stuff that happens, and it's not just we say college basketball. It's not just college basketball, but that's the example we're using here. But that's just money. Money changes everything.
What was the supposed price tag on Albert Means back in the day? I mean, that's been almost 20 years ago.
It was
wasn't
like
it like $250,000,
yeah.
$200,000? And we were like, if that's the price tag for a guy like Albert Means – no disrespect, but this is going to come off as disrespectful. What the heck is the price tag for, like, the big-time superstars that we know of? If that's the price for Albert Means, what in the world are these other guys getting?
It's a good question. And some guys who don't turn out to be great players at the time were high-level recruits. And so maybe they're more valuable back then than they are 4 years down the road when they just don't pan out. But, wow, we're talking this could open up the can of worms here that we thought might get opened when that FBI thing first happened. But we'll see. I understand your skepticism here, but I do think they have taken it to another level here, the NCAA has. And especially doing it with Kansas, we're talking about, you know, that's major news for – you know, NCAA basketball to lose one of the top dogs, you know, that's a tectonic plate mover right there, right? That's a shift taking down a big, big dog like that. And they've been in trouble before.
If any of it happens. Why is it in times like this, why is it that like why aren't they dissecting that front, forwards, backwards, upside down, inside out? Why is that story? It's not really that big of a story. You don't really see
college basketball is not big of a story. Not that big of a story, but they got the notice of allegations.
Yeah, but Kansas basketball is a big story.
Yeah,
and ESPN covers college basketball, and they show college basketball games. So why isn't that – I just kind of feel like more people feel the way we do, like, yeah. Then because I just feel like they would be all over this, especially in times like this. Why isn't this a massive story if you think Kansas is about to topple Kansas basketball? You know, wouldn't they be all over this?
Well, I think if you go to the Athletic, there's a big article. I mean, Seth Davis is writing about it. The top writers are in on this.
It's Kansas basketball. It's kind of they're a blue blood. It's kind of a big deal.
I think it's a big story.
If you truly think the NCAA is about to chop their legs out from underneath them.
But don't you think if that does happen that we might actually see changes? That some of this stuff could, it's never going to go away, but some of this stuff could be controlled and limited if they were to chop the legs out, as you said, of a blue blood like Kansas?
Well, it's already going in a different direction here soon whenever they, you know, figure out a way because of the G League to start paying them money. Now, it's going to create a whole new set of problems down the road, but they're already doing that, right? Yep. They're already going in that direction. It's already going to change, but like I said, it is going to create a new mess. It'll have a new messy pile that they'll have to figure out, but I don't know. By the way, what is Albert Means doing these days?
Great question.
Anybody done the follow-up on Albert Means? He didn't even make it to the NFL, did he?
I don't think so. I don't think he was even a got significant drafted. College player.
Yeah. Gosh. That's crazy that's been almost 20 years ago. I'll never forget that SEC Media Days. I was down there when Philip Fulmer showed up. That was crazy. Remember SEC Media Days when we used to all gather? Big crowds and cover it. Big deal. This year we'll zoom in. This year we'll zoom in. Enjoy the weather today. It's fantastic.
Coach Orgeron, we go to your Zoom now. Well, what's a Zoom? Tiger football.
Oh, he'll have to get somebody to fix him up. That'll do it for us today. Enjoy your day. It's fantastic outside. But be safe. We'll see you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll talk to you then.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.